Instacart knows that some people go bananas about getting the perfect, well, banana. Some want them green. Some want them ripe. Some want them ready right when they hit their doorstep. But with Instacart's preference picker, available at most retailers, you can choose to get your groceries just the way you like. That means perfectly ripe bananas, deli meat sliced just the way you want, and avocados that aren't still hard as a puck in the third period. So don't cross your fingers and hope for the best. Download the app and get groceries just how you like with Instacart. Summer break is here. I want my kids to have fun, but I also want them to keep their skills sharp. Between vacations and sports, I need something that fits our busy schedule without adding stress. That's why we use IXL. IXL is an award-winning online platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. From pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's proven to improve grades, and one subscription covers every child in the home, saving us time and money. It's trusted nationwide. And in fact, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLlearning.com/audio. Visit IXLlearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Hi, welcome to the Full 90 Soccer Time Podcast, our weekly look into Seattle Sounders FC and some other stuff. And I'm just so tired, Brandon. We're your hosts for mornings on 107.7 The End. I'm Gregor. I keep the same hours as Golden Gardens during the summer. I sleep from 10 p.m. till 4 a.m.
You close at dusk?
I wish. That is dusk in the summer, I guess.
Yeah.
Anyway, he's been in the locker room, on the pitch, and in the stats booth at Lumen Field. He's sexy skanking Brandon.
I was expecting you to say that I do this for free, but guess what? I do it for less money than most of the Sounders players are currently making.
We'll get to that next on the Full 90 Soccer Time Podcast. A couple things. One, you made reference to another podcast that we do. It's Gregor's Nerd Talk Plus. You should search for it in the podcast provider of your choice. I'm about to upload an episode featuring Brandon Griffith from... Brandon is on it, but also Neil deGrasse Tyson, a... scientist who talks about astrophysics and makes it into terms that you and I can maybe understand, maybe.
Yeah, but he doesn't know about birds.
Yeah. The one question I left off that I wanted to ask him about was, why is gravity so hard to understand? Because I really wanted him to make it easier to understand, but he got mad at me and I stopped.
So. Okay.
Anyway, do us a quick solid, click on through to Apple Podcasts, give us that big rating.
Definitely 5 stars. Gosh, it feels like it's been so long since
we should actually check that. But primarily, you could leave us a comment. We want to know your favorite ever Seattle Sounders FC player, making one new who from
your favorite ever Sounders FC player that you're richer than from Obed Vargas to Ethan Doubleair.
This week, the peak performance Sounders FC take on the Colorado Rapids.
I think there's something about the word rapid where, like, anything that you, if you end any word with pid, it just sounds bad.
Okay.
Yeah.
How about how they wore their alt kit is white and green? I thought that was really weird. I thought I was watching the Timbers, but then also they don't have a freaking name on their jersey or a sponsor.
Yeah.
How do they still not have a kit sponsor? Are they just asking for, like, ridiculous, like they're like 10 new who's if you want to sponsor this shirt.
They're just like, literally, please, anybody, like, just I get it, right? Like, why you wouldn't have a sponsor is if just nobody is willing to put up the kind of money that would make it worth to give them that kind of advertising.
Yeah.
And I think it's interesting that in this day and age, where we're so used to, on specifically on soccer teams, or if you watch like professional car racing and anything like that, like, you're so used to seeing advertisements on the kits and on the uniforms and things like that of all of these different athletes that when you don't see it, you're almost like, that looks weird. That looks empty. It looks like there should be something there.
It actually looks kind of amateur.
Yeah, exactly. But it's at the same time, it's like, but we're so used to watching every other sport where, you know, in like professional American football, they put the numbers are on the front, right? Or in baseball, most of the time, you just have like the team's logo across the front, where I feel like if you were to do that, like if the Sounders kit just said Sounders across the front of it, it would look weird. Or if they just did a, like a massive orca punching through the air, like it would look weird.
You do it in Zulily font still.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Yeah.
It looks normal.
It's just funny. It's like I always catch myself being like, oh, that looks weird. But then it's like, would I rather the teams have a blank kit and nobody have the sponsor? Or would I rather Colorado just get a sponsor so that they look normal, you know?
I'm surprised the league doesn't force one on them, like one of their MLMs. They're not like, you have to put an MLM on your shirt if you're not going to have your own. I think that there's something to be said, though, for having... I know you got the crest, but I think that maybe there could be a requirement that you got to run something there across from nip to nip. You got to have like, it should say Rapids.
Yeah, it's the nip to nip clause. Yeah. Obviously, it's the nip to nip clause.
Perfect.
So the Sounders haven't done, I haven't done that much crazy stuff with their kits, but like, I think if you took the logo of the Zulily from the front of the Jimi Hendrix kits, right? It would just look like an esports jersey, you know? Like just the crazy pattern that looks like you ordered it on Wish or, you know, some crazy crappy you ordered it on Zulily, maybe.
Have you seen the Pride shirts, the warm up shirts that they're gonna have for Pride?
Yeah.
That's kind of what it looks like, actually. Yeah. It looks like it's like that. Those are awesome. I think they look rad.
So I think about a team like LA Galaxy, which even though they're not doing it this
year. I'd rather not.
Yeah, I know. They have a historic, mark of their kits is the blue sash across the front.
Yeah, love it.
And like without a sponsor, that still looks pretty sweet. Or we talked a few weeks ago, and we should get to this because we haven't recorded upon this podcast in forever. But the fact that like the Pumas old jerseys were sweet because it was just their crest, which is sweet, but massive on the front of their kit.
Yeah.
You know? Or like some of the national team kits these days can get really creative with what they're doing in the middle because the national team kits don't have sponsors. Right. So I think that it would open up a lot more maybe design options for teams, for clubs, if they didn't have to worry about what color font of which sponsor was going to fit on the front. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, it was the only downside to those New Mexico United with the Meow Wolf on it.
Yeah.
Because like they're badass, like bumblebee looking jerseys, the yellow and black, but then you have this. Like looks like a paint kit threw up all over the front of the shirt.
Right.
Like it didn't really go. It was still badass.
Yeah,
still
cool.
It,
yeah.
But you kind of run that problem out of town a little bit. Yeah. Anyway. Okay. Well, you bring up a good point. We should talk about the biggest game of the last several weeks for Seattle Sounders FC: a 2-0 loss to Dallas on the road.
I was gonna say a 1-0 win to Houston Dynamo, but yeah, Texas.
I can't believe we haven't talked since Seattle won the Champions League. The cup of CONCACAF Cup has been raised and filled with light beer in the locker room at Lumen Field.
And poured over 16-year-old Obed Vargas.
Yeah, was he crushing beers in there? Is that a problem?
I think that like maybe it's like one of those things where if you claim, what is it?
Chad Marshall was there. That's what it is. His dad said it was fine.
Yeah. And I think that as long as the police come over and Chad Marshall opens the door and he says, no, it was okay. It was cool. You know, and they're like, sir, are you Jordan Morris? Because he was wearing the Jordan Morris jersey the entire time.
Did they show him crushing the beers on TV?
I think they did. Yeah. Yeah. They showed him.
Because he did the scarves up and then he took his beer and pounded it.
Yeah.
And they didn't get it on TV in the stadium.
Yeah, yeah.
So he crushed another one.
Yeah. He's like, oh, wait. You need me to get this angle. Get this angle on it.
So one of the weird parts, this is like a weird brag, but one of the weird parts about the seats that we have for Sounders matches is they're right in the front row, right by the tunnel. And so anyone that goes walking along in front of ECS there, they get to us first. And I don't remember how it went down, but I was like, that's some badass chugging, Chad. And he turned around and he's like, you don't look like this, for nothing or something like that. Certainly not in his peak performance shape, but also looking good, Chad Marshall.
I feel like there's, at this point in my Sounders fandom, I have seen so many different players and former players crush beers that I would like love to see at this point, and as annoying as I find him, Casey Keller, who was pouring everybody beer before a Timbers match a long time. There was a match that was like the it's the match that inspired the Nightfall kit. It was the same night as the World Cup final that they showed down.
That's when we yelled at Steve Clark, right?
Yeah, no, that was, that was a different one. I always yell at Steve Clark though. I'm always, but, you know, whether or not he can hear me.
The one though where he did hear you for sure.
Yeah, yeah. But Casey Keller was pouring everybody beers, and then he yelled "F the Timbers," and then drank a beer. Then you've got Marcus Hanneman. Maybe it's just a Sounders goalkeeper thing. Marcus Classic Hanneman going over to the sideline during a U.S. Open Cup match, chugging a beer there. Now you've got Chad Marshall chugging a couple of beers. Yeah. Like at this point, I'm sure Zach Scott is somewhere always chugging a beer. Roger Levesque looks like he's probably never touched anything that wasn't a expensive glass of white wine.
I've seen him at a coffee shop. Oh, that served white wine though.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, that's, yeah,
yeah. Okay,
it's just get like a massive game of flip cup between all of these old white men that used to play for the Sounders.
I've seen. I've had a beer with Taylor Graham before, so he'll drink a beer. Yeah. Oh, he sent me an email. I got to get back to him.
Oh.
All right. Anyway, that's beside the point. It's funny because, you know, with two busy lives and kids and everything like that, we haven't had a chance to talk about the fortune of the Sounders turning and them finally accomplishing the thing that no other MLS club has been able to do, which is win the Champions League. If you went, like, the Champions League in UEFA, it features Liverpool and
Real Madrid.
Is it Real?
Yeah.
Or is it Atletico?
No, Real Madrid beat Man City to go to the final. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, like, those are two of the biggest names in world soccer are playing for their Champions League. And I guess some people probably don't know this, but like these different regions are trying to create, they're the same reasons that the national teams compete in to try and make the World Cup and whatnot. And so CONCACAF and CONMEBOL and UEFA and all these different leagues are each now producing on the domestic level or the club level. They also have, a lot of them have a championship that you can win. And so this is kind of the highest honor. Now, that being said, at the time of the final, the second leg, Seattle Sounders were like 11th in the West, and Pumas were either 10th or 11th in the Clausura in their league of 18. So it wasn't like either team was like the top team in their league that was playing for it. But when you qualified, they were, I guess.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It's like,
it's, I don't know. I think that,
like Liverpool's going for the quadruple, right? I don't know if they're still able to do that.
They are still able to. I think something
the quadruple being the
FA Cup, or the League Cup, the Champions League, and then winning the Premier League. So all four major trophies available to them. And then the Club World Cup, but they have to get through the Seattle Sounders in order to do that.
Out of the way.
Yeah. The only thing, although I don't know if they won the Community Shield.
I don't think that counts towards the quadruple. Yeah,
the quintuple. So the thing is like the Sounders, Garth Lagerwey, when he came on as the Sounders general manager and president supreme of the cheesy gordita supreme of soccer at the Sounders, he said, he's like, look, my goal is during these international window breaks when MLS decides to keep playing or whatever, and instead of having friendlies against, you know, Premier League
Chelsea,
sides or against German sides or whoever, instead of having these friendlies against Club America or whoever it might be, I want to be playing real competitive games. And But when we play against Club America, I want it to be for something. I want it to be in, like, this is, you know, Garth Lagerwey basically said, like, we need to be playing in matches that mean something and not playing in meaningless friendlies. And in, I don't know how many years it's been since he's come on as the general manager and supreme leader, he has taken the Sounders to that point where they are now playing matches that always matter. Winning the Cup of CONCACAF Cup and qualifying for the, you know, the Club World Cup, which is a joke, right? I mean, like, people will make jokes about it. Chelsea is the current holders of the Club World Cup, right? Because they won the Champions League last year and then went and played in the Club World Cup. And so you take the best, these Champions League winners from all of these other regions and put them in a kind of a mini tournament.
The champion of the Champions League.
Yeah, it's supposed to be the best club on the planet, right? Because you were the best club in your region. You went and played all the other best clubs in the regions and then you won that, right? It's a bit of a joke because I think it kind of is like a little friendly tournament. Nobody really takes it that seriously, because I think they played some team from Saudi Arabia in the final, right? But I mean, the fact that the Sounders have like gotten to where Garth Lagerwey said that they wanted to go on the roster, where they're not even the top five spending teams in the league, and they're able to do it. Who cares if they? I mean, yeah, like you wish maybe they would have beat the biggest club in Mexico instead of Pumas, or you know, for I guess for Pumas, they're getting to play against one of the biggest clubs in the United States, one of the most successful historically.
Yeah, certainly the one that has got the current pedigree.
Right, absolutely. And so, like, to be able to go through that team, and you know, who cares if Pumas is 11th or the Sounders are 11th as of now? Like, last year with the team that they had, pulling together the seasons that they had, you're still competing for a trophy that nobody else qualified for. You know what I mean? Like, other people qualified for, but nobody else made it that far to compete in it. So, like, it's not the MLS's back cup. You know, it's like a real big trophy that no MLS team has ever won. We
it's
don't
not
need
the League's Cup.
It. It's not the League's Cup, yeah, that you have to be just bad enough to qualify for. I don't know. I mean, I feel like weeks later, it's probably not relevant to talk about anymore, but like, it's, I don't know. It's a huge,
I don't give a crap. I haven't talked to you about
deal.
It, so
yeah,
like,
know,
it doesn't matter to me. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah, anyway, it's... Well, it's exciting. It's exciting to be done with it, also. Yeah. And you know what? Actually, we talked about this a lot a couple seasons ago. But like, I'm all for the what the NWSL is doing and playing a start of the season tournament where you just get everything back up and running tournament style and have a little fun with it. We kind of got to see that happen with our team playing in this big tournament, yeah. And they won it, and it's a big freaking deal, and it's kind of a cool way to start the season is with that. And now, you know what, 11 games in, mm-hmm. Sounders are awful on the charts, but all you got to do is string together a handful of wins and suddenly things start coming back.
It's funny because like they put all of their focus and all of their attention into this match into that tournament in order to be the first American team to win the tournament. And they throw all of their energy into that. Of course, they're dropping points everywhere. And then they're too drunk to do anything against Dallas as they're, you know, after the first match.
You ever seen Happy Gilmore?
Yeah.
You know, when he gets the caddy from out in the, just like the scruffy guy out in the parking lot, it feels like that's what they did for that match against FC Dallas. Just like, hey, do you know what a soccer ball is? And the guy's like, yeah, I do. Okay, we're signing you to a one-day deal here, and you can come on out and...
Yeah, it kind of did feel like, but then you get to see like this same team that goes out and starts against Pumas in the final minus Joao Paulo because of his awful injury. But you get to see basically the strongest Sounders 11 go into Houston and play, you know, not great, but win a game and like, you know, start to pick up some momentum where they're not splitting their time and attention between multiple tournaments. I mean, we haven't even talked about the fact that Sounders are now bounced from the Open Cup. But like the fact that they are able to come in with this strong team and actually put all of their effort into this, like the Sounders still have two matches in hand on every single other team in our conference because
and one of them's against Vancouver
and the other one's against Colorado, which we'll talk about here shortly, who's coming in with two red cards.
Oh my God. So it's exciting time to be a Sounders fan. We're right as the rest of the country starting to warm up. You saw that last night in Houston, like the games where everyone just looks this uncomfortable color of pink, mm-hmm. like a bratwurst that's just gotten on the grill. Like, nothing makes me happy that I am a fat piece of more than seeing that, because I'm like, that looks uncomfortable. But just as it starts to get nice here, the team can finally now kind of start putting together a campaign that is gonna. You made a point there that losing Joao Paulo is a big deal for this squad, and they talked to Rusnak after the match last night, and just about how you just got to move on with that and go, and he's going to have to step up, and other people are going to have to do things, and the kids like the Obed Vargas and stuff is going to be a deal. And, it's just an exciting time now with a big, big win under your belt that the rest of the league doesn't give a crap about unless you're one of the fans from another team. That tweet from the people being like about how insufferable the Sounders are, I'm like, just because they like consistently pull off, it's my team, so it's like it's hard for me to understand it. But like, there are teams that are way grosser that have way bigger profiles and do way less for the community and are just like so unaware, and you're just jealous, you loser.
Yeah, so anyway, it's the Sounders are they walk the walk, And they actually do what they say they're going to do. Like they aren't one of these teams that says, you know, oh, we have these aspirations to do this, that, and the other and win trophies, but then they don't put the money behind it. The Sounders do put the money behind it. They go and win those trophies. They not on top of that, they like, I don't think that they're just doing fan service when they go out and build these community parks, or they say that they, you know, support racial justice or things like that. Like they go out there and put their money where their mouth is, and they win trophies at the same time. It's like, yeah, it would be insufferable if your team wasn't the Sounders and your team wasn't able to do the things that you wish that they could. Like, imagine never having the aspiration or even like the thought that your team might be able to do something.
Imagine live in freaking Frisco, Texas to play soccer in 99% humidity and 105 degrees for 2 months at a time. Yeah. Like what?
And then listening to two guys like us talk about this all and like be all up on our high horses about it. That has to be insufferable.
I love that you said unsufferable too. So
unsufferable. Like you cannot suffer us.
All right, that brings us to the most important player for Seattle. It's the Are You Richer Than a Soccer Player Man of the Match.
I don't know if this is specifically for the Houston match or if this is for all of the matches, but it's the Are You Richer Than a Soccer Player Man of the Match, Christian Roldan.
Are You Richer Than a Soccer Player? The new hit game show hosted by Jeff Foxworthy, Tuesdays at Never. He's been playing out of his goddamn mind, that Christian Roldan. And it's funny that he's see how big a bump that his brother took there. I don't think we talked about Alex Roldan on the... we'll get to it here. We'll get to talking about the salaries of everybody. That's the joke, right? Wait, is this going to come before or after? Where should I put this? Before. Yeah, so we'll get to talking about the specific salaries, but it's pretty crazy to see what a big bump Alex Roldan took this season. He's playing at a much higher level like he is, and he's getting paid a little bit better as a result. But his brother really is the U.S. men's national team, even though he might not be playing European football or whatever. He's like, he's such a smart, consistent, and like pretty clean player out there. He gets tackles made without getting a ton of cards. Mm-hmm. He's a professional player. He makes awesome runs. He's got great passing. Like every week he's in the contention as far as I'm concerned for player of the week. Oh,
he scores a ridiculous.
Oh my God. I forgot all about that goal where he broke my knees scoring that. That was unbelievable. Yeah. You always hear about quarterbacks dropping back and or when they're being rushed and they throw from the back foot and they make an awesome play. It's like a Russell Wilson specialty. It's either always a touchdown or 90-yard pass or a pick. Like what? But he had that same thing where there's way he should be able to generate that kind of whip on a ball, drifting away from goal, that fadeaway jump shot of soccer. There, what's his nuts from whatever team that was, Houston? No fucking chance. Oh, pardon me.
Yeah. Well, that was that wasn't Houston.
Yeah,
it was
whatever that was.
The one before, whoever it was. Yeah, Minnesota. What I found amazing about it is somebody pulled these screenshots of the goal and like three different phases of the goal. Basically, he's shooting it. You got somebody like the people are starting to stand up in the background. All of the players are looking to see where the ball is going in the second frame. And then in the third frame, the ball hasn't even gone in the net yet. And Christian Roldan is turned around celebrating
good
the goal
stuff.
Happy 250th birthday, America. I've decided to spend this semi-quincentennial as our founding fathers would have wanted me to, checking out the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, I know I can find everything from ultra-comfy power reclining sofas with genuine leather seats and stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage to best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving, charging storage, and those signature Bobopedic seats. Because nothing is more American than a sofa that's a bed and a library and a closet. So, if you want to join me in decking out your house with the finest affordable furniture this 4th of July, why not stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Want a $1,000 weight loss medication for $50? It all starts with Rose free GLP-1 insurance check. Just upload your insurance card to see if you have coverage, then relax. Over 200,000 people have qualified for a $50 copay through Ro. Go to ro.co/health. Half of covered patients have a $50 per month copay or less for medication, plus $145 monthly Ro membership fee. Deductible costs may apply, and final cost varies by insurance plan. For safety information about GLP-1 medications, including boxed warning, go to ro.co/safety, Rx only.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
All right, well, there was props to Jeremiah Oshan, who really dropped the most important nugget of the season. This is the thing I wait for the most every single year. It's time to take a look at how many new Who's new Who makes. It's my very favorite thing. Now, this all started back in the day, and I think the numbers are a little different now than they were, but back when the league minimum was about $65,000, it might have actually been switched, it might have been $56,000, but we'll say $65,000.
Yeah.
New Who was playing out of his damn mind for, like, no money. And so we labeled that as, you know, all these other guys are, like, getting paid to be there, Kim Ki-hee, when he would make a mistake, he wasn't getting paid one new Who. He was getting paid six new Who's or whatever, seven new Who's, I guess. And so now, new Who is the one that's making six new Who's. We got the annual player salaries, which is a piece of information that becomes public every year, which I think is one of the coolest parts about this league, is that there has to be that transparency in order for the budgeting to work correctly and for anyone to even have a shot at understanding GAM and TAM, which are two different money spending accounts that you could do, and your internationals and your designated players and your all that stuff has to be divulged. And so we get to find out what kind of salary everyone is on and then get real mad or stoked about it. A look at that for this year. It looks like the league minimum this year is $65,500. And we've got four dudes playing on that minimum and one guy making an extra $220. Sissoko is making an extra $1,024 or whatever it is. I don't know what that clause is, but do they have to like buy a plane ticket to somewhere for him? you got a team of names that we're seeing get some playing time. Like, I had no idea that Reagan was a league minimum guy.
Yeah.
He was out there killing. He's the defender of the year from Michigan and came to join the Sounders. I thought you'd put him on at least a more than the minimum salary, but he's really paid off as well.
Well, I mean, he's making more than I was my first job out of college. So,
hey, there was a match that I watched recently, and you had a tweet about it from Full 90 Podcast on Twitter. You can find us at full90podcast.com for all of our social media and our sweet OnlyFans between the nips.
Nip to nip,
thank you. Damn it.
Between the Nips is actually it's an episode. It's a Between Two Ferns kind of spin-off that we do on our OnlyFans.
Where we green screen and there's nips on either side and we sit between them.
Yeah.
It's weird because I don't have a lot of chest hair, so they're really pronounced.
It's just a super close-up view of our chest, and we like that is the background of
googly eyes on it. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's between and then we're between it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You'd hope that it would be like a Pretty Ladies if you're a dude.
No,
it's ours. That's why I say, like, I have so few chest hairs that they're very pronounced. And I'm Eastern European blood, so there's probably some moles in there you're going to see. It's repulsive, just for the record. Okay. Anyway, you had a tweet about this. It was to the effect of, and that's perhaps why we don't see Leo Chu. I did not view the game that it came from. I believe it was the Dallas match, and Leo Chu got the start. But it sounds like he was P.U. Chu.
It wasn't great. I mean, like, the thing about him is he gets into really good positions throughout the match. He was running, making the right runs. He was getting into really great positions, but his decision making at the end always was off. And I think that there's a lot of hype around him because he's quick. He's maybe somebody who can challenge Jordan Morris for that position. Mm. And Jordan Morris having two ACL tears and, you know, hasn't quite looked up to his old speed since recovering from those things. I think that it's seeing Leo Chu come into this club as a young, like, Brazilian guy, you're like, okay, man, like, this guy's going to come in and tear it up. I remember, like, at the beginning, Garth Lagerwey and Brian Schmetzer were kind of like, pump the brakes. This guy's young. We want to get him integrated. We want to get him, like, with a team. So like maybe this is all part of the plan to like help this kid grow into a great player. However, where there's talent, there's usually going to be playing time. And maybe the Sounders are seeing some of this decision-making issue that there's that we saw in that match against Dallas and why he's not getting the playing time that we would expect now 2 years into his contract that he would be able to start getting.
Is he worth it after that match? If we're judging it on one match's performance, not fair, sure. I understand. But is he an eight new who guy?
I don't know. I mean, like, we haven't seen much. Like, look at...
Brandon, I'm going to need a yes or no.
In terms of soccer money, in terms of professional sports, like, $500,000 that Leo Chu is making is not that much, right? But when you say that that is, like, basically the average... You know, you've got some guys on the team making $2.5 million, and you got guys on the team making $65,000, right? Like, is he performing well enough to make the, you know, a middle of the squad average, you know, salary? I don't think so. But also, we haven't had much to see him do. Like, we haven't had there isn't enough data for the casual viewer to be able to watch and see, like, is he worth that money? I think the only people that know whether he's worth that money are Brian Schmetzer and Garth Lagerwey, who get to watch him week in and week out in training and make the decision about whether or not they're going to bring him on.
And we barely see him on, so. Right.
And so that's where I'm thinking, like, is this a, who is the guy? Cecchini. Emmanuel Cecchini was a guy that came into the Sounders. Everybody was stoked about, young Argentinian guy. Yeah. And he was gone before he was even here. I think, like, or Magnus Wolf Ikram. Like, some guys just don't fit into what the coach has planned for the team. And like,
and then imagine being Brazilian and like the language gap. And there's like, you just don't, other than João Paulo, you don't have anyone else to really speak to. And it's like the transition as a human has got to be really hard too. Wow. I was thinking Ross Fletcher always instilled on me is like, these guys coming from other countries, right? Like, you're on your own in a weird foreign land, and the culture's weird. And then all you see is on the news about the police murdering people. And you're like, whether that's true or not, I'm just saying that's the narrative you're seeing. It's got to be a tough transition to make. Sure. Though I don't think Brazil is much different. I don't know.
Well, you're going to a new city and all that, and like at the end of the day, like, all I actually paid really close attention to when the Sounders won the trophy, the Cup of CONCACAF Cup, to the celebrations afterward, because I like to see how different players react, right? Uh-huh. And Leo Chu was out there jazzed, like, he was so stoked, running around with the players, jumping up around, hugging, like, taking pictures, like
compared to the guy that he could potentially replace, who seemed very miffed the whole time, at least the beginning. Yeah. Jordan Morris looked like he was real upset about something that whole time up there until they finally got to, like, move around. But, like, he did not seem in the mood.
Yeah, he's the mellow Pacific Northwest native who, like, can't get excited about anything because he's too depressed, right? Probably.
Welcome to this podcast, Jordan.
Yeah, basically he's the third host of this podcast now, I suppose. But it's just, like, to see, I mean, you can't read that much into that body language, I guess, but, like...
No, of course not.
Leo Chu is out there stoked and in celebrating. Like, that's going to go on his resume, right? Like, won the Champions League with Sounders FC, and so
in the USA.
And so, like, that's great for him moving forward. Like, maybe things are fine behind the scenes with him in the club, and they are just still trying to ease him into a you know. And it's also, we watched him making those decisions playing with the rest of a weekend squad with the Sounders. So, like, maybe if you get him in there with your Rui Diaz's and your Lederos, and you know, if he's able to play with João Paulo and things like that, maybe you do see a little bit better chemistry and things like that. But just if we were going to base it all off that one Dallas game, $500,000, probably not.
Okay, so let's take a look at the big names on our chart here and see. Tell me if you think that they're... I just want reactions. We don't have to debate it or anything. I want an over or underpaid.
Can I say one thing?
I'm going to.
Stephen Fry and Leo Chu's names are right next to each other on this list that I'm looking at. Stephen Fry is making $50,000 less than Leo Chu, and he is on this, like, he is a club legend, right? So if we're gonna take that, like, Stephen Fry is either vastly underpaid or Leo Chu is overpaid. Like, and I'm gonna go with the former on that.
I'm speechless.
Player of the tournament in the Cup of CONCACAF Cup entire tournament. Player of the tournament, Stephen Fry.
Wow.
Making $50,000 less.
Yamar Gomez Andrade at 650K. Okay. Stephen Cleveland makes 150K, backup keeper. I expect that, I guess.
Yeah,
he's
sure.
A young kid or whatever. Kellen Rowe on 275 a year.
A 52% increase from the year before, where he played every single match for the Sounders. So I would say that that's fair.
Yeah, awesome. And he's looked good this season. He's actually looked a lot more predictable and a lot like whatever problems there are, whatever. I'm like, it really feels like he's a big part of the squad. I could see him with the armband on if someone else went out.
Tell me if this makes sense to you, or like I kind of want to get your reaction to this. Kellen Rowe is the new Brad Evans.
Nah, I'm not there.
No. I get
what you mean, like kind of journeyman, Seattle beloved and everything, but there's a certain amount of I think that there's a certain amount of charm that Brad Evans has that is not remanufacturable, and that I don't know, and I've never had any encounters with Kellen or whatever, but he doesn't have that same. They're both chippy,
yeah,
that's for sure, when they're on the
pitch, I think, but both of these guys like wear the emotions of the entire team on their sleeve, and Kellen Rowe is like the Willie Bloom. I think these guys are both the Willie Bloomquist of the Sounders, where they can
There's
just
a
play
reference for everybody.
Yeah, every position that they're asked to play. So anyway, I think, in my opinion, Kellen Rowe fits that bill.
Sure. Raul Ruiz Diaz, the star player, not even, I think he's like the 10th or 12th highest paid person in the league or something like that, on just under $2.5 million, which goes up to 3.25 next season. Again, pass the ball to Ruiz Diaz. And for a number nine, he is a hard freaking worker, man. That guy pulls back and covers and plays defense and gets cards and stuff. Like, what a legend. Freddie Montero took a pretty big leap up this year, up to 110. He had a huge season last year, really clutch for the team. And a good start to this season, even.
Well, it played really well and was important for the early matches in the Cup of CONCACAF Cup, too, when Ruiz Diaz was out injured.
Atencio gets a bump after a good first season as a first team pro, coming up by 20-something% or whatever. Danny Leyva was hurt for a long time, and I haven't seen him get many minutes, so I don't really know how to judge the 110K that he's making. Dobelair at 90,000. Okay.
Well, both of those guys you're probably going to start to see more minutes out of now that João Paulo is out for the rest of the season.
João Paulo on 1.2 this season. He goes from 1.2 to 1.28 to 1 somehow in the way that his contract is structured. $1 million a season, not bad. Let's see here. AOC at 100 grand. Ladero, the highest paid player on the team, making $2.6 million this season. And boy, has he come to life. Is that an increase this year of almost 20%? So that's a big deal.
He's guaranteed $3.2 million. At the end of the season.
So he and Ruiz Diaz, like, on pretty... Oh, I was reading that wrong this whole time. Yeah, sorry, that's the guaranteed compensation. The next season is not right. I'm sorry, I got that wrong earlier.
No, sorry.
Yeah, 3.2 if he hits all those marks, right? Christian Roldan on a 800,000 and change. Madranda doing 200K. These all seem pretty fair. Jordan Morris at 1.2. I don't even know who Andrew Thomas is, the goalkeeper. Reed Baker-Whiting on the league minimum. Leo Chu at that 550. I am outraged, and I can't even wrap my head around the fact that Stefan Fry gets no respect.
Who is the highest?
Dr. Fingerwave makes more money than him. Like the Lord Fingerwavington.
Who? Lord Waggington.
Yeah, Jesus. Of Fingerton. Like Lord Waggington of Fingershire.
Lord Waggington of Fingersville.
Fingershire, please.
Yeah, Fingershire, of course.
Lord Waggington of Fingershire. Gross.
a finger pid. Yeah, like who's the highest paid? I guess that's what I want to know now, seeing what Stephen Fry is making. Like, is he just like in the corporate world, right? Like certain, like a coordinator, you know, if that's like in your job title, if you're a coordinator, you are likely going to make less than a manager, you know, if that's in your job title. Like, sure. Is goalkeeper the coordinator of MLS? Like, the guys that just, it doesn't matter. Like, if you pay, you can't pay Stephen Fry $1 million because that would make him the highest paid goalkeeper in the league and he just doesn't deserve that. Or, like, what's the rub there, man? Because, like, Stephen Fry, club legend, single-handedly has saved the Sounders' skin multiple times.
Yeah.
Literally, like, single-handedly, yeah, done it. Making only $500,000, $50,000 less than Leo Chu, who's done nothing. Making, you know, less money than Christian Roldan, which I think is fair. Christian Roldan is, like, a massive, important piece of this squad. But, like, Stephen Fry is at least as important as Christian Roldan. And that is not a slight on Christian Roldan,
no,
by any means.
It's a slight on Stephen Fry, man, that he's so undercompensated. There's got to be more to it than we know, but that is outrageous. The top 10 players in the league... Jordan Shaqiri, I mean, that big transfer over to Chicago Fire, he plays for $7.33 million. So you're talking about Rui Diaz making a third what Shaqiri makes. And Shaqiri's been awesome for Chicago, I guess. That's my understanding. But Jozy Altidore, I think they're still paying off a contract in the EPL somewhere for that. Carlos Vela making more than Rui Diaz. Like, it's crazy that he's not even a top 10 player in the league. So
Eloy Room is the Columbus Crew goalkeeper, and he is currently the highest paid keeper in the league on $880,000.
So there's got to be something to it, then, is what you're saying.
Like,
huh?
Are the Sounders single-handedly building? Are they going out to Whidbey Island or whatever island it is? And is Taylor Graham holding a hammer and nails and building this house for Stephen Fry himself in order to save him the money or whatever crazy island tax that you have to pay in order to build a house out there?
Their community efforts are now somehow building a very artistic looking yeah, piece of architecture on Bainbridge right, Island for the community. Unity.
Yeah,
oh, where's a soccer field? Where'd
the Rave Foundation slush fund go?
That's so wild if that's the case, because, you know, like, we're over here arguing about should he be going to Qatar for the World Cup.
Yeah.
And, like, now I'm arguing, like, should that guy be somehow gifted $10 million when he leaves the team? You know, like, that's...
Yeah.
It's... unreal to think, and I guess based on your one other example, your one other piece of evidence that, like, I guess that's just life of being a goalkeeper.
Do you think, like, does Eloy Room have the...
I don't know who that,
like,
is.
Exactly. That's my point. Like, does he have the pull that a guy like Stephen... Does he create
as
much... Is
that a dick joke?
Yeah. Does he pull?
Does he have the pull of a...
If Stephen Fry is in the running, right? Like, he's at least in conversation.
Yeah.
And maybe it's just within Seattle, like the Seattle fans, like, circle jerk on Twitter, that we're talking about whether or not Stephen Fry should be the third goalkeeper going to the World Cup. Or even, you know, the second goalkeeper
who's number
going
one
to the World Cup.
What's his
Zach
name from
Man
City?
Yeah. Zach Steffen.
And then
you've got...
Sean Johnson?
No, it's... either him or the guy that used to play at Schalke, and then Ethan Horvath.
Okay.
And then, I don't know, there's a few guys in Europe. But, like, at the end of the day, it's like sitting on the bench in Europe, is that better than what Stephen Fry is doing in Seattle, getting active minutes every single match and, like, winning player of the tournament in the largest competition in the hemisphere?
Yeah, I don't... Well, not in the hemisphere.
in the region. In the region, in the hemisphere, in the...
No. The UEFA's in the hemisphere, bro.
What about when you split it like this?
I got you that way. That hemisphere, yeah.
Yeah.
Are we the
Western hemisphere?
Isn't Western hemisphere include Europe?
No, I think it's like split. Europe,
my God,
is,
to the Google.
This is for our other podcast.
Today in maps.
What is it when you split it side by side? I know latitude and longitude. Latitude is like the ladder that you climb. Longitude is the long.
You're right. It's the part of the Earth comprising North and South America and the surrounding waters. Longitudes 20 west and 160 east are often considered its boundaries. Nicely done, Brandon.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. I appreciate that.
Okay.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer.
SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait. There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Imagine you're finally cleaning out your gutters when the smoke alarm starts blaring from inside. Smoke billows out of the window. ADT's affordable DIY systems are built for those moments where everything can change in a second. They're easy to set up, customizable, and help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home, and with ADT, you won't. ADT prioritizes your peace of mind with the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. With the ADT Plus app, you stay in control from virtually anywhere. Don't wait to prepare for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
The days are longer, the calendar's filling up, and I want to feel as good as this beautiful summer weather. That's why I've been loving Grooms. It's one daily pack of gummies that covers my greens, vitamins, minerals, and even has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber. So I don't need to juggle a complicated wellness routine on top of everything else. They taste amazing. They're easy to toss in my bag on the go. Plus, they're vegan, gluten-free, and HSA FSA eligible for reimbursement. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grooms.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.
So we're looking at a Sunday matchup, I believe. Sunday, I gotta look.
Sunday. Yeah, it's Sunday.
Yeah, Sunday, 5 p.m. Seattle Sounders on the road, traveling to Brandon's second favorite stadium outside of Seattle. It's Dick's Sporting Goods Park, affably known as
the Richard.
To speaking of pole jokes, there we go.
Yeah.
Hey. I'm talking about dicks, like a pole is like a dick.
Right,
like
a, right. No, like no, no. Yeah, I got it.
Yeah, okay. Spelled that out for you. All right.
Right. Yeah, so it's not like the Sounders are coming in from, you know, a well-deserved, I suppose, 3 points from an ugly match against Houston. Colorado is coming in from a literal brawl against Sporting Kansas City. Where
the end of that match was, if you haven't watched it yet, look on Twitter for the video or whatever, of just criminal foul after criminal foul back and forth for like 45 straight seconds. Yeah. And I, like, a guy might as well have sharpened his shoe and stabbed a guy with it. It was like crazy.
It's like Will Smith in Wild Wild West, which is probably a movie that you haven't seen because you haven't seen any movie.
Yeah.
Kicks his boot.
I know, kind of
going,
wow, wow, wow.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, perfect. But like, I mean, the Sounders are going to be playing without Alex Roldan because he got 2 yellow cards in the match. And
in like 5 minutes.
Right. And like you watch the Sounders match and you're like, oh man, 2 red cards in the match, that must be crazy. And then you like, let's see what's going on in Kansas. It's just like 3 red cards in the span of like a minute or something. Like,
guy grabbed a coach's clipboard and threw it through another guy's neck. It was crazy.
Which also, I could make a great Wild Wild West reference right now because of what you've just said. You have definitely seen it. At least in your subconscious.
No,
like on at the dentist office or something like that. And you just picked up bits and pieces of it.
I insist on softcore porn when I'm at the dentist, just to make everyone uncomfortable.
Yeah, yeah. You ask them specifically, like, hey, the morning news is great, but can I see some dry humping?
Do you guys subscribe to Skinamax? A reference for my older friends.
I think they lost their starting left back. Colorado lost their starting left back and their starting right back out of that match. So the Sounders only going to be playing without Alex Roldan going into the next match.
And yo, dog, we're used to playing at altitude now after playing 4 months ago in Mexico the last time we potted. So.
Yeah.
I can't believe this. I see a line that you write here that everyone's talking about the playoff line, and like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Everyone knows that all that matters is being good starting in August.
Yeah.
That's all that matters in MLS. You just have to put together a run from like August till the end of the season, which is a little earlier this year, I think, until like, you know, October 1st. Yeah. And if you can do that for 8 weeks, then you obviously win MLS Cup. Come on.
Well, it's like it's a 34 match season. the Sounders have played 10 of those matches.
Yeah.
So they have 24 matches to go, which is so many games. Yeah. It is so many games.
And when they go undefeated and are on a winning streak of 24 in a row.
Yeah.
What, do that math. It's like 72 points.
Yeah.
They're going to win the league by like 20 points. It's no big deal.
It's I just don't understand this early in the season, like people talking about the Sounders form and people talking like the Sounders, the first MLS Cup that they won in 2016, they squeaked into the playoffs in sixth place and won the MLS Cup, right? Like the Sounders right now have, if you really wanted to worry about it, like no team in the league has more than 2 points per game. Even like the Supporter Shield leading, I think Austin FC right now is in the Supporter Shield lead with 10 points more than the Sounders. Like if the Sounders picked up 6 points in both of these, you know, games in hand, the Sounders would be 4 points out of first place in the West. They would be at least right now in seventh place, which is above the playoff line. Like, but all of that stuff does not matter because we still have literally half the year to play.
Yeah, it's too early to be upset. Again, Jeremiah Oshan had a good take on that. Someone was given a hard time. He was like, okay, well, now the Sounders look like they're just below the line. So, and then someone else is like, come on, it's too soon. He's like, last week, literally 1 week ago, you all were freaking out being dildos about it. So shut up.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah. You got to, like, it's only getting to the weird part of the season where everything shuts down for like 3 weeks and then you play 9 games in 4 days. And it's like a whole, June is the most backwards month of MLS season. And it's only then that you start to see how teams are going to hold up again, see if you get healthy to August and then can put together a good run. That's the real trick of this, is you pick up some points where you can right here and then you stay healthy in the summer so that way you can finish strong. And if you can get those things together without murdering the coach, then like you got a chance. Is that it? We're done? You look like you're pooping. You okay?
I'm pooping. Yeah, I'm pooping. Sorry, I was like doing math in my head and then I like lost it.
Your math face is very poop face looking. That's amazing. We can see each other. The people listening obviously can't. But okay, so it's Colorado Rapids against Seattle Sounders at 5 p.m. on Sunday. I guess it's time to take a look into your Crystal Pepsi ball, Brandon, as it swirls around with its effervescence and Brandon's brain poops. Let's.
Is this what Aaron, the math man's face looks like when he calculates New Who coin?
No, he looks like Storm from X-Men. His eyes just cloud over and then he starts to levitate. It's amazing.
Oh, that is sweet.
Yeah, it's really cool.
He like starts speaking in like God voice where you have like 7 different pitches all at the same time.
I know what it is now, Brandon. I know what it is. It's that you've really started rocking a mustache. I've been looking at you this whole time and I'm like, there's something messed up about Brandon. He's looking so dad-like right now.
Most people would just say that there's something different about somebody.
No.
There's something so messed up about you. I think that the Sounders, I'm taking a look into my effervescent Crystal Pepsi ball.
Mustache hair swirling around.
Inside. Yeah, I think which Sounders player would look the worst with a mustache, and why is it Kellen Rowe?
Because it's bleached. That's why.
Right.
Anyway, what do you see? What do you think for 5 o'clock Sunday against Colorado on the road at altitude?
The Sounders have
two wins.
They've been playing so many matches. I feel like, I feel like every time I look at my calendar, I'm like, oh, the Sounders are playing again. And my wife's like, are you serious? Like, are they actually playing again?
Let me guess, you have to podcast too? Gee.
I'm like, no, because we never podcast about the Sounders anymore. And I said, I think that because they've been playing so many games, because they need to be rotating players in and out, I think that the Sounders are going to draw this one 1-1.
Okay. Well, then.
Nip to nip.
Just they're going to touch nips?
Yeah. It's like in basketball, instead of checking the ball back and forth, now you just touch nips.
Or like because of COVID, you can't high five, so people just started touching nips. It's like the tiniest areas of touch.
It's scientifically proven that nips can't carry.
I guess I would agree with you that one apiece is the way that it's going to happen, but oh, look, there's a baby in the background. Hi. I get so, such a dork. I'm going to agree with you that it's probably going to be a draw, but to make things interesting, I'm going to say it's a 2-1 win for Seattle.
Yes.
And you know how they're going to do it? They're going to pass the ball to Raul Ruiz Diaz. You're not supposed to say nipples to your wife when she walks in the room like that, Brandon.
No, that's what my son says to her every time he sees her.
Milk truck, bring those nips here.
Yeah, put a boob in it.
All right, well, in case this podcast was too long and you didn't listen, it's time for Too Long Didn't Listen. Brandon, Too Long Didn't Listen.
I will be right back. I am going to sign a nip-to-nip clause. Just in case. Too Long Didn't Listen.
You shall call me Lord Waggington of the Fingershire. Too Long Didn't Listen.
Apparently there's something messed up about me.
It's your mustache.
It's Kellen Rose mustache.